There's no covert operation for Jesus. Well, I'm going to live for the Lord and no one's going to know about it. Yes, they will. You will stick out like a sore thumb here in America if you really give your life to Jesus. It's fairly effortless to find a group of people who will gladly discuss the Great Commission than to find just one daring soul who, in the midst of opposition, will relentlessly set America in the crosshairs of their gospel bow. It's relatively effortless to find people who will discuss it. Oh, let's talk about the Great Commission. It's great. We love it. We raise our hands. We shout. We clap. Than to find one in the midst of the opposition, not just from men, but the satanic opposition, who will relentlessly, tenaciously, not bend, buckle, nor break, but they will set America in the crosshairs of their gospel bow.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, one of the tenets of the Christian faith is that we would abide and remain in Jesus all the day long. And yet our flesh is weak, and it's so easy to lose our focus. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at verses 9 through 11, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Where's Your Aim?
I love 1 Corinthians. Write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. This is a glorious explanation of the point I'm trying to convey here. Paul is writing here in 1 Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. Here's what he says. Listen closely. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, capital D, will declare it. There's not going to be any question. The day, the greatest D-Day, is going to reveal my work, your work for the king. Because it will be revealed by, guess what? Fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so is through fire. Do you see this? I mean, do you really want to stand in front of Jesus and, looking back on the time, the talent, and the treasure, that, like that parable, we simply buried into our own life? We just sat on it. God goes, here's your time, here's your talent, here's your treasure. And we're going to stand in front of Jesus going, yeah, I'm here, I'm saved, praise you. But you're right, I just pretty much live for myself. No, we want to be people that when we stand in front of him, that we can look at time, talent, treasure, and not like the parable where the guy just sat on it and buried it. No, no, we send it ahead. We're going to make a difference. We use those resources that God has entrusted to us to make a difference for his praise, his glory. Can you imagine Jesus returns and you and I are standing in front of him and we're at the Bema judgment seat? Can you imagine that he looks at me and you and goes, John, why is my money, the talent I gave you, and the time I gave you, all sitting in your bank account? That's going to be a hard answer to give, isn't it? Because the answer I would have to give truthfully is because I wanted to be comfortable. And I chose my comfort over your glory. But as the old adage goes, comfort leads to collapse. What are you doing today with your aim? Where is your aim? I love what Revelation says in 22, verse 12 through 13. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Jesus speaking to, of course, the disciple John, who's writing from the island of Patmos, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Matthew 25, verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will now make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Isn't that going to be great for those that are truly running hard after Jesus, using their life as a vessel, as a lighthouse, as a beacon for his glory and his praise? As you're going to break the tape, as you're going to run hard across the finish line, you're not going to coast, you're not going to retire, you're not going to cruise. No, no, you're going to fall across the finish line. And I can just see Jesus, I can see him right now picking you and me up, going, "Oh, let me pick you up, sister. Let me pick you up, brother. Woo, way to go. Way to run hard. You made a difference in my glory and my praise. Oh, that's the life I want to live. I don't want to stand there and watch all my works get burnt in the fire. I want to make a difference. I want to move the needle. I want to live for God's glory." You know, so far we've learned that we're to make it our aim and to be well-pleasing to God, and that all true believers will stand at the judgment seat, the Bema seat. And now I want to conclude with this intentional, urgent mandate. We make it our aim to be well-pleasing. We're going to get judged. We're going to stand at that Bema seat. All believers will be there. It's going to happen. Mark my words. How do you know, preacher? Because the Bible says so. So what's the mandate? What's the urgency and the intentionality we must do? If you're not already doing it, you need to start today. Here's verse 11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." Don't miss that. "We persuade men, though we all are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." Paul faced so much. He had so many detractors. Everywhere he went, he's causing riots. He's getting stoned. He's getting beaten. He's getting whipped. He's getting kicked out of cities. He had so many people after him. Why? Because men love darkness rather than the light. And when you live in darkness, you will fight till the cows come home to suppress the light. I got bad news for you that are walking in darkness today. It is absolutely impossible to completely extinguish the light of the gospel. You can't do it. You're on a futile path, a futile attempt to nowhere. So why don't you come over to the light? Come over to the bright side. Come over to Jesus. "Knowing the terror of the Lord." Some people look at this and go, "Wait a minute. I thought that was the Old Testament God." God is the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. I know there have been some that have professed we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. No, we stay hitched to the Word of God. That's why key number three, write it down, key number three. Those who have the fear of the Lord now, those who have the fear of the Lord now will not need to fear the Lord in the end. Let me say this again. I'll explain it a little bit. Key number three. Those who have the fear of the Lord now, a holy awe and reverence, will not need to fear the Lord, be scared of, in the end. If you have a holy awe and reverence of God today, you are under the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, you know, I believe I'm saved, but I really haven't been living for the Lord." Well, here's your deal. You're at a crossroads. You have a choice. You can either live for him or you cannot. I suggest you live for him, because that's where true joy is found. That's where, in obedience, that's where you find joy, contentment, and peace. That you make it your aim to be well-pleasing to him. Plus, a truly saved life will be an obedient life. And when Jesus says that you got to believe in me, that word believe in the original language constitutes action. It's not just an intellectual belief. Even the demons believe and tremble. Are they living for Jesus? Of course not. You can believe he exists and still work for the enemy. But when you believe, as your life is no longer your own, you have given your life to him. You've laid it all on the altar. Man, that's action. That's saying, "Woo, man, I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. You take my life and you let it be." And when you begin to live in that vein, yes, you know the terror of the Lord, that fear, that dread. And I don't know if you know this, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but the wrath of God, Romans tells us, is being stored up for the day to come. You talk about playing fast and loose with sin. That's a risky game you don't want to play. Therefore, we know that God is going to judge. Why would he give his only begotten son to be executed and slaughtered if in the end, everyone just ends up at the Disneyland in the sky? No, there's going to be a price to pay for rebelling and rejecting against the blood of Jesus Christ. Rest assured. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If you reject him, there's no turning back. Once you die, it's over. There's no do-overs. Remember the do-over? I loved the do-over when we played in the backyard flag football. Really, tackle football. Don't tell my mom. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, we get out there and we play tackle football as youngsters, and we love the do-over. See, the do-over was implemented, and you could use it anytime you wanted during the game when things didn't go your way. Do-over! Once your life has been snuffed out, and if you're not under the righteous royal blood of Jesus Christ, you can scream do-over all you want because you're going to have eternity to do so away from God's presence. Do you really want to gamble in that vein? Do you really want to risk it in that vein?
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
I was thinking of the kids of Israel. Easy to think about the kids of Israel in the Old Testament. It's easy to point our fingers at them, isn't it? I mean, think about the kids of Israel. Stiff necks, like a young child, you know, just stiff as a board. Right? I'm not going to do this. Stiff necks, hard, calloused, rebellious hearts. They did what was right in their own eyes. You see that over and over in Scripture. They did what was right in their own eyes. And they walked according to the dictates of their own hearts. And where did it get them? It got a bunch of them decimated because God was just sick and tired of their nonsense. And for those that were brought up through the ranks, they wandered around for 40 years in a relatively small area, just bouncing around. See, that's what happens when your aim is not on God. You wander. The heart is prone to wander, to leave the Lord we truly love, is what the song says. And we begin to wander and bounce back and forth and back and forth as we walk according to the dictates of our own hearts, that our hearts are calloused, that we see what's right in our own eyes. We go, that's what I want, that's what I want, that's what I want. But we don't realize it's a hamster wheel going nowhere. That's why we must be a people that is aimed on God. We can't be like Romans 3:18. Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans also tells us this, that they've exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Now, how many people got up this morning going, I can't wait to live in a lie? Well, of course we didn't. But we often do, don't we? We often do. If we're truthful, we're honest. Acts 9:31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. I believe one of the greatest church growth verses in all of Scripture right there. Walking in what? The fear of who? The Lord. And the comfort of who? The Holy Spirit. What was the byproduct? They were multiplied. In America, we just got this thing all backwards. We walk in the fear of man and the comfort of self, and we wonder why we see one abortion bill after another being passed. We shake our hands, we shake our fists. Oh God, convict us today. Convict us today. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, don't miss that. The kingdom that you're living for today, if you're in Christ, it cannot be shaken. Isn't that great news? Like, no matter what happens in your life, if you live for Jesus and you're under His blood, His righteousness, you cannot ultimately be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may receive and serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Do you see it? So what do we do now that we know the terror of the Lord? What do you do? What do I do? We persuade men. We persuade men. Key number four, the last key. Here it is, key number four. Key number four, don't miss this. Are the people around me being persuaded to run to the Lord by what I say and how I live? Question mark. Key number four, are the people around me being persuaded, inducing to believe, to yield, to obey? Are the people around me being induced to believe? Are they yielding to obey God, to run to the Lord by what I say and how I live? Our brother mentioned it this morning earlier when he said this, and I loved his thought. He said this, there are no secret agents for Jesus. That's good, isn't it? There's no covert operation for Jesus. Well, I'm going to live for the Lord and no one's going to know about it. Yes, they will. You will stick out like a sore thumb here in America if you really give your life to Jesus. It's fairly effortless to find a group of people who will gladly discuss the Great Commission than to find just one daring soul who, in the midst of opposition, will relentlessly set America in the crosshairs of their gospel bow. It's relatively effortless to find people who will discuss it. Oh, let's talk about the Great Commission. It's great. We love it. We raise our hands. We shout. We clap. Than to find one in the midst of the opposition, not just from men, but the satanic opposition, who will relentlessly, tenaciously, not bend, buckle, nor break, but they will set America in the crosshairs of their gospel bow. Spurgeon said it like this, the great prince of preachers. Listen closely to what he said regarding persuading men with your life and your words. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for, end quote. See, that's how you persuade men. You got to be intentional. You got to be urgent. You got to be desperate. You got to be broken. You got to make it your aim to not live for self, but only live for Jesus. Paul even said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, "For do I now persuade men, convince to yield, obey? No. Or do I persuade God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ." There in Acts, Dr. Luke writes about Paul. In Acts 20, verse 22 through 24, Acts 20, verse 22 through 24, here's what is said. Paul is recounting through Dr. Luke. "And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except this, that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that chains and tribulations await me." Wow, where do you sign up for that team? Amen? Tribulations. Woo! Can't wait to have tribulations. Here's Paul's response. Verse 24. "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." Why? "So that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel and the grace of God." Amen. Do you see that? As the trials come in your life, the testimony for you and me should be, "But none of these things move me, that I might finish my calling with joy, to testify to the grace and the gospel of God." Why are we trying to bring those things with us, I ask myself, that we cannot take into the next life, all while leaving behind the people who need to go with us? Have you ever thought about that? You've heard the old adage, "There's no U-Hauls behind a hearse." Heard that before? Listen to that thought that God stirred in my heart here recently. Why are we trying to bring those things with us that we cannot take into the next life, all the while leaving behind the people who need to go with us? It's utter insanity, isn't it? Comfort leads to collapse. MacArthur said it like this: "The absence of sound doctrine and the presence of false doctrine will always lead to sinful behavior, period." So where do we go next? In conclusion, where do you go next? Where do I go next? I believe this text leaves us at the doorstep of what some refer to as the glory war. The glory war. The glory tug of war between us and God. As the me church model and the me driven life continue to hijack the American church. Listen to Isaiah in conclusion. Isaiah 42 verse 8. Isaiah 42 verse 8. This is what God says, not what I say. This is God and what He says, Isaiah 42, verse 8. Listen closely. "I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other." Exclamation point. I am God. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other. Unfortunately, this verse is tragic and gut-wrenching news to some churchgoers, as the tug of war for their own glory is an ever-present moment-by-moment battle in the flesh as they set up monument after monument to themselves. Contrary to the "it's all about me" culture that we live in, the flesh-shattering raw reality is that it's not about us. And we are not the center of the universe, nor, stay with me, neither are we the center of the gospel. For many professed believers, this statement makes them furious and incensed. Why? Because our depraved sin nature hungers and thirsts to be me-centric at all times, even in regards to the gospel. And yet the Bible screams like a neon sign on fire that God's praise and God's glory are at the center of the gospel. For the fame of His name. The manger, the cross, and the empty tomb are not evidence that we should be praised and glorified. No, these are symbols that actually show how depraved, wicked, and helpless we really are. These are symbols that crash like a tidal wave into my rebellious heart, to your rebellious heart, as a bullhorn resounding the infinitely deafening praise and sun-blinding glory of God and His Son, King Jesus. Now, are we benefactors that become adopted as sons and daughters into the kingdom of God through what transpired at the cross, at the manger, and the empty tomb? Absolutely, yes, yes, and more yes. Praise be to Jesus. But at the beginning of the day, all the day long, and at the end of the day, it's all about God's praise and His glory. The alarming and frightening reality is that homes, churches, and individuals are struggling as they have exchanged the truth of God for the lie in switching God's praise for their own praise and replacing God's glory for their own glory, as there's no fear of God before their eyes. And God will under no circumstances give His glory to any other. Isaiah 42:8. Many people will pray with a smile, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." But how many, truthfully, even here in the church house today, from the wellspring of your heart, will pray, "Thy kingdom come, my kingdom be exterminated. Thy will be done, my will be exterminated." Which one are you building? God's kingdom or your own kingdom? Where's your aim? Where's your gaze? What are you focused on? What are you riveted on? What are you welded to? You can only be welded and riveted and fixed and gazed on Jesus or self, but not simultaneously both.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.